So we're on a series called The Champion's Creed. This is part three, and we're going to talk about forgiveness today, and it's talking about I can forgive and be forgiven. So the last couple weeks we've been talking about the I cans and a little bit. So forgiveness is something that I don't know if you ever considered it, but would you consider forgiveness a superpower? I guess I kind of do, because we're in a battle, and we don't want to give the enemy anything to be able to grab a hold of, to be able to get an advantage over us in our lives. And Satan, he's been around for a long time. And I don't want to give any more credit than he deserves, but nevertheless, he is a crafty thing, isn't he? And he's learned some things over the years, just how to infiltrate our thinking and to get us to focus on maybe the wrong thing, and then it gets us into a little bit of trouble. And what I've found is the fact that forgiveness renders his tactics harmless against us. Is there anybody here today that has never, ever been offended? That's somebody. How many's not been offended at me yet? Dang, nobody. No one person? Okay. Well, I'll work on that a little bit. I wouldn't be preaching the gospel if I didn't stir something up every now and then, would it? Anyway, I don't preach about comfort. I preach about commitment. Amen? That's where it's at. All right, so we're going to start off with a scripture talk in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And this is serious business, forgiveness and unforgiveness. And God talks about it quite a bit in Scripture. And he wants us to be able to live the overcoming life, because he knows the world that we live in. We live in a world system that tries to break our focus and get us to major on the wrong thing. We used to say majoring on the minors, right? Have you ever known anybody like that? They just majored on the minors, you know, whatever these little piddly things, they would focus on that and they'd miss the big picture. And that can happen sometimes. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, But one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage will be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for supernatural unction to be here today. We thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage on each of our lives, Lord. We just thank you for this great and glorious days that we live in, Lord, that we know that you're living in us and working through us. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory, and I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the word offense is not used here in this passage, but as we know, an offense in our life usually leads to, or can lead, not all the time, can lead to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness and how we deal with that. Unforgiveness is sometimes like a splinter. Have you ever had a splinter in your hand and you couldn't get it out and it kind of festers? I remember one time I was probably around, I was in sixth or seventh grade, and I used to get on our horse bareback and just kind of take off. Well, I was getting on the horse, and of course I'm not very tall, so I had to go up next to a gate, and I'd climb up the gate and I'd hop on. Well, when I hopped on, the horse took off. So I put my hand out, and unbeknown to me, there was a big old splinter. And I kid you not, that splinter was about 3 inches long and fairly wide. And it jammed this hand. Yeah, this is the hand right here. And it jammed way down in there, and we couldn't get it out. And by the time I could get to the doctor, you know, he took that out and was just, I mean, it was just all pussy and everything. It just bad. And see, that's what unforgiveness, it goes in there, it's an irritation. Now, this was a major irritation. I've had some little splinters, we all have, right? You get those little irritations. Well, this is a major irritation. And, you know, just how that works in our life. You know, unforgiveness can kind of fester. And it can start to do some destructive things in our thinking. You know, a lot of times when you get offended, have you ever done stupid stuff when you're offended? meaning you get a little bit petty. Has anybody ever got petty about some silly things? You know what I mean? And, you know, once you do it, you know you're being petty, but you just can't stop yourself. It's because our mind, and this is usually a marriage application as a rule, not all the time, but, you know, your mind is so consumed, and then you just get off track a little bit. So the word offense, and we know we've talked about this before, is the Greek word skandalon, and it really means bait. Satan uses an offense in our life as bait. Now, some of you use bait for different things, fishing or different things. And, you know, if you throw a dry hook out there, you don't usually, I mean, you can catch some stupid bluegills maybe or something. They'll bite on anything, I heard. I don't know. I'm not much of a fisherman. But, you know, usually you put some good bait on there to get the fish to bite. And see, that's what Satan does to us. He puts some bait out there trying to get us to bite. You know what so-and-so said about you? Right? You know what I mean? All these different things he'll do to try to find a penetration in our mind so that we start to think about that offense a little bit. And it'll get us really in trouble because it takes the... And what happens when we take the bait, well, then all of a sudden, Satan takes advantage. He takes advantage, it says here. And the word take advantage is talking about to defraud or to cheat somebody out of something that belongs to them. And he's trying to cheat us out of something. And a lot of it's our peace of mind and to be able to walk close to God. Because unforgiveness is something that really can unsettle us spiritually as well as emotionally. And we can't really afford to give the enemy advantage. Now, I don't want to go into this too intensely, but, you know, we might have talked about this a long time ago, but some of these Greek words, when it's talking about, is that the Greeks would sometimes have those games and they would wrestle and, you know, fight in different ways. There's different Greek words that did it. I'm not going to go into all of them. But, you know, some of the wrestlers, what they would do is they would strip down to about nothing and they'd rub oil all over their body. And then, you know, has anybody ever entered a grease pig contest? I think my sister won one, didn't she, Brian? I think, yeah, my sister won a grease pig contest out at the fair many moons ago. But, you know, grabbing a hold is impossible when something's slippery. And see, that's why if we stayed oiled up by the Holy Spirit, Satan can't get a hold of us. But these Greek wrestlers would oil themselves down so that when their opponent would grab at them, they couldn't get an advantage. But see, when we have unforgiveness, they get an advantage over us. And then that gives our opponent a chance to grab a hold of something in our life and maybe flip us down to the ground. So that's kind of a picture in our mind, really what can happen, because then it goes on to say that we're not to be ignorant. We're not supposed to be ignorant about the devil's schemes. As a Christian, it's just something that you and I need to learn how to deal with, is to understand who our enemy is. And we know that it's the Satan and his fallen angels that followed him. So the word ignorant means not to recognize or perceive. That means we don't really understand the situation. We misread something. And we don't really understand what Satan is trying to do in our life to hold us back and to try to get into our life to keep us from God's best. See, that's the main thing is, you know, the devil is trying to keep us from God's best in our life. I don't know about you, but we serve a good God. And God has good things for us. And I want to get into God's best, whatever that is. Whatever that is for my life, I want to be able to receive everything that he has for me. And so I can walk in that and be able to use it for glory. Schemes or devices, but it's talking about a plan, an attack, or a plot. So here's the thing. Satan has a plan. So do you. We have to have a plan. If we don't have a plan, we can get defeated. Simple as that. He has a plan, and we need to have a plan. How we're going to resist this. Amen? And to be able to win this battle of what's going on. And what happens is Satan uses bitterness to open the door into our life to trap us and to drive a wedge in our relationships. And that's what he wants to do in life. Just how we need to be a bit bitter, and then because we let that thing fester, and then all of a sudden we don't feel comfortable being around that person anymore. And the reason is because we know on the inside we got attitude. We got a bad attitude. We got bitterness in our life. So the last thing we want to do is be in contact or being around that person that has stirred up these emotions, these ugly emotions in our life that happen. It happens, people. We all have that happen. So maybe this is dealing with you. Maybe you're going through this now or just went through it recently, or maybe this is going to happen tomorrow. Know that these things happen, but we can defeat that and be able to break the power of them because, you know, we know don't get bitter, get better, right? That's an old saying. Don't get bitter, get better. Use that as a springboard to be able to overcome, and that just throws kick sand in the face of the devil. Amen? And then the word forgiven is used here. This word comes from the word grace, to show someone favor or to be kind. And sometimes that's what we have to do, and that's really hard to do. Sometimes when we know that, you know, maybe somebody has said something against us, or maybe somebody, you know, we care about, and be able to show them grace. And, you know, but I've found in my life is that, you know, I've had some opportunities. I don't know about you have. I just had one the other day. I could have got offended. But what I found is that forgiveness is a weapon we can use against the enemy, because to be honest, we can't afford to be offended. That's a high price. An offense and having unforgiveness is very expensive. Very expensive. Not mentioned emotionally, but you know, sometimes we can even do silly things when we're offended about something, and then that leads us down the wrong road. Next passage I want to look at, this one hits hard. I ain't going to lie to you. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. How many kind of wish that wasn't in there? You know what I mean? Have you ever had a few passages you run against? Well, why did God put that there? You know, that's kind of harsh, ain't it? You know, and I've had people tell me they won't forgive somebody for something, and just they'd rather, you know, I've even had somebody tell me they'd rather go to hell than forgive somebody. You know, and, you know, fortunately that person did get it straightened around. They did forgive finally, but, you know, just a lot of hard things can happen in life. And what I say is, are we willing to trade our forgiveness from God for the right to hold unforgiveness against somebody who wronged us? Are we willing to make that trade? Have you ever traded for something? You know, a lot of kids trade things. Sometimes older kids take advantage of younger kids, right? They'll trade them, you know, something. They'll give them a piece of junk for something that the little kid has that's very cool and maybe expensive even. But are we willing to trade our forgiveness to hold that person accountable? And think about what that costs. I'm very frugal, as many of you know. And I look at a lot of things of what it's going to cost in the long run. You know, not just the initial cost, because usually we can absorb that, right? The initial cost of something, you know, not that big a deal. But it's the long term. What is that going to cost me in the long term? And this one here talks about something very serious. Now, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, does that mean you can't go to heaven? All I know is just read this scripture and think about that. Just think about it. I'm not going to say either way. You know why? Because I'm not the judge. God is the judge. But I can read. Amen? And so, you know, some of these things we have to kind of evaluate a little bit, and we need help sometimes. God knows our pain. He knows what we're going through, and I believe he'll extend grace to us to help us to overcome some of these things. And just to drive the nail a little deeper, unforgiveness is a sin. That's a hard one. Unforgiveness is a sin, and that is why we need to repent and ask that the blood of Jesus washes us clean. We don't think it's fair. If somebody does something mean to me or my family, shall we say, and I get offended and start walking in unforgiveness, why is that my sin? They're the one who started it. For crying out loud. That ain't fair, is it? It's not about fairness, it's about justice. And we look at it, we step back a little bit. Once you get in a situation, sometimes you just got to step back a little bit. Get the big picture. Look at how much God has forgiven us and compare that to that little thing that we have to forgive them for. It's all about perspective, isn't it? When I think about all my sins and all the things that I've done, I've hurt some people in my life. I know I have. Even since I've became a Christian, maybe before I was a Christian, I know I did hurt some people. You know, I didn't intentionally do it. I was a pretty good guy for the most part, but I know I did do some things. And, you know, to carry those things around, and sometimes the other person may not forgive us for what we've done, but we still need to ask God for forgiveness and get that off of our plate and get it out of there so that we can try to rebuild and to be able to walk in the things that God has for our life. You know, an offense is not an excuse to get bitter. You know, a lot of people hold on to that, and whatever reason, I'm not sure exactly why that hurts them so much, but it does, because, you know, life can be like a minefield, but thank God he has made that provision for you and I that we can escape the power of sin by the power of his blood. And I'm talking about the blood a little bit today, the power of the blood of Jesus, because that's what we need to wash them sins away. You know, there's this power in the blood. You know, the devil doesn't like the blood of Jesus, you know, because it defeated him. It paid the price. It washes us clean and helps us to be an overcomer and helps us to know that we can be forgiven. We can walk in forgiveness because Jesus made a provision for that. And forgiveness can become our superpower, while unforgiveness renders us powerless against the attacks of the enemy. You know, a lot of people talk, you know, I don't know if you ever kid around about superpower. What's a superpower? You know, some people, well, would you like to have X-ray vision? Who's better, Batman or Superman? I still say Superman because he can fly and he can do stuff. But anyway, a lot of people like Batman. But anyway, you know, a superpower, what we have, something that's unique to us. And I'll be honest, forgiveness really ties in the 1 Corinthians 13 where it talks about the love chapter. You know, if you walk in love, you can never be hurt. Never. If you're walking in agape love, the God kind of love, you can never, ever be hurt emotionally again. That's a promise. But walking in it's the challenge, isn't it? To be able to walk in that kind of love. But see, that opens the door that, you know, we can extend grace to other people like grace has been extended to us. You know, but sometimes when we have that unforgiveness, it's like unforgiveness is like clinging to the past and reliving the pain over and over again. And that's what it does. You know, when you rehearse that pain over and over again in your mind, that somebody said something against you or did something against you, and then it's living rent-free in your mind. Well, it's not really rent-free. It's costing us something. It's not costing the other person a dime, right? But it's costing us living rent-free in our mind, and it becomes like a a terrible mind loop, like a not-so-merry-go-around. You know what I mean? How many of you used to like merry-go-rounds? You know, you get to going around faster and faster and faster, and, you know, and all of a sudden you're flying off of that thing. But you just don't get, you don't go anywhere, do you? You just keep reliving that same thing over and over, going around and around and around and around. And see, that's what this happens to us. So to me, forgiveness is the only thing that can break that cycle of emotional turmoil in our life. I thought about this, that unforgiveness, what it is like, you know, picking a scab and expecting it to heal. You know, some people like picking scabs all the time, don't they? I see some of you smiling. Yep, that's me. I like to pick a scab every now and then. But you keep picking that scab over and over and over, and that thing never heals because you don't give it the chance to do what it's supposed to do. And what happens is the fact that I think, I'm sorry if I oversimplify this. I know I shouldn't look at it this way, but I believe that emotional healing to believe for is so much easier than physical healing for whatever reason. Because to me, emotional healing is just a change of our mind. We don't need any kind of creative miracle for that, you know? Because I do believe that we can just change the way we think about something or feelings. And see, to me, unforgiveness is just a feeling. And so in saying that, we can willfully choose to forgive. Just like that. It's just a choice. Simple. Does it go away instantly? Maybe not, that feeling. But it starts there. So we first make the choice to forgive, and then the feelings follow later. Just by that first choice. It's a choice. And then we can't afford to just live by our feelings all the time, because feelings will lie to us. That's why there are so many relationships that get damaged, because they go by what they feel instead of by what they know they're supposed to do. And so that's why we need to overcome those things and not let them control us. So what happens is that unforgiveness becomes a spiritual barrier holding us in bondage. Like when we have unforgiveness, it kind of hems us into a little pen, and it keeps us, you know, in there so we can't really get out. And so forgiveness is, like I said, is picking that scab and keeping it, the healing from coming. Because God wants to heal us. That is part of His will. God wants us to be healed. He doesn't want us to go around emotionally in pain, carrying all this turmoil, all these things that's going on, and to experience that kind of freedom, you know, that Jesus came to give, you know, when He sets us free. Now, here's some forgiveness facts. Forgiveness is reconciliation, because when I say this, this is what some people think. Well, if I forgive that person, I have to, you know, maybe get real close to them again and let them in my life. No, it doesn't mean that. Because somebody is out there that is continually hurting, bringing pain, and they don't change, you know, it's not healthy to maybe get back into that. See, forgiveness is for them a little bit, because we want to release them, you know, from that debt. But forgiveness is really for us. It sets us free. It helps us to not be held in bondage. So it doesn't mean that we have to get back into relationship with them. And forgiveness also does not minimize the offense. It doesn't just, you know, make it sound like what they did to us was so insignificant. No, it was real. It was something that happened. It was an event. And it's not to minimize that. Has nothing to do with that. And then forgiveness, does that mean that we forget what happened? You know, the old cliche, forgive and forget. No, it doesn't mean that totally either. But what happens, though, is that, like I said before, that when we walk in forgiveness, you may remember the event, but it does not have power over you anymore. I don't know about you, but I like that. I don't like it when something else controls me. some outside event, something that would be considered sin or something like that, that has the power over my life to cause me to think incorrectly, to act incorrectly, you know, I don't want to give that power to anybody else. No. I don't want to do that myself. Then forgiveness frees us more than the person that wronged us. Like I said, we're the one with the that holds on to the problem. And then we make the mistake of thinking that forgiveness is not fair because the offender gets off the hook for what they've done. Technically, here's how that kind of works. We release them, but they're still accountable to God for what they've done. But it's God's job, shall we say, to deal with these things. He's the final judge. You know, just think about it for a minute. Let's say hypothetically you did hurt somebody, even a minute. But then you ask God to forgive you, and God did. That other person wouldn't like that, would they? That you got off scot-free. Well, let's turn it around the other way. Somebody else did something to you, and they asked God to forgive them. See, it works both ways. So if you want to experience forgiveness and walk in a level of freedom that God has prepared for us to have, then remember that, you know, we release others also that we can be released. Amen? To be able to walk in that freedom. Even if they don't admit to it, we've still done our part. That's because that's all we can do. We can only guard our heart with all diligence because from it flow the issues of life. And to me, when the forgiven have the grace to forgive, right? I don't know about you what it was like. I mean, think about your salvation experience. What was that like? You know, when you finally come to the place in your life where you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. I don't know. Some people get touched maybe deeper than others. I remember exactly where I was sitting when I got saved. 610 South Gilpin in Denver, Colorado. I finally had come to the point in my life where I wanted to yield my life to Jesus Christ. And I know what happened when I prayed. And I know that feeling of release that happened to me. I knew that I'd been forgiven. Now, you may not have had an experience like that. Does not in any way take away from your experience. But I do know what that forgiveness felt like. And it was powerful. Because I really, you know, not only with the police, you know what I mean? You know, I'd done some, I mean, not bad things, but I could have probably, you know, been held accountable for some things. But God forgave me and set me free. And the power of what that forgiveness. So once I was forgiven, it helped me in my life in living around other people because when I didn't have to have that feeling of unforgiveness or resentment in my life anymore, I knew that I could release other people because I had been released. You know what I mean? That forgiveness, and so being able to extend that. And I thank God for the grace of God. You know, forgiveness is easier to give to others once we experience that forgiveness that we've been given by God. Now, Luke chapter 6, 27 and 28, it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those that mistreat you." This is another one of them fun scriptures, right? Well, here we're supposed to love our enemies. That Greek word love there is agape, of course. Walk in the love of God, the kind of love that God has for us. Then it says to do good to those who hate you. Another tough one, right? Somebody hates you, do something nice for them. Maybe bake them some cookies. I don't know. Whatever it takes, do something nice for them. Here's one that's going to get us. Bless those who curse you. The word bless means to speak well of. Okay, now, that's a little tough sometimes, ain't it? When somebody's hurt you, can you really pray that God will bless them? Or do you pray God get them? You know what I mean? Get them, God. I just pray some God didn't get me when somebody prayed that about me. But we have to speak well of, you know. And I always use that story I read in one of the books that I was reading one time. And I've told this before, but, you know, the meanest man in town died. And there was a guy in town that never said anything bad about anybody. I wish I was that guy, but that's not me. I know I've said bad things before. So everybody was wondering what this guy was going to say as they walked by the casket and seeing the meanest man in town laying there in the casket. And they asked him, what about him? And he says, well, he sure did have pretty eyes. Even in an opportunity like that, he still said something kind. And so that's just I think that's a noble goal that we have, to try to be positive and to be able to speak well of other people. And then it goes even a little farther. It says, pray for those who mistreat you. Mistreat means falsely accuse you. You know, we've been falsely accused by something maybe sometime in our life. And we're supposed to pray for those people. And that just kind of makes it a little more difficult sometimes. Well, our last passage I want to look at here is found in Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32, it says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that you will give grace to those who hear. Goes on to say, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So here we see the idea of, you always like that, let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth. That's a scripture we ought to really know about. You know, verse 29 there, we ought to maybe have that highlighted and maybe even print that one out and put it on a card and maybe put it up on your mirror in the bathroom. I mean, that's an awesome goal, not to let an unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, to be able to live that kind of way. But it talks about choosing kindness, because kindness can diffuse a difficult situation. And we've all been in those difficult situations, those awkward situations where maybe words have been spoken. You know what I mean? Maybe somebody said something a little bit abrasive, and just how all that came into play and what that does in our life. And so if we choose kindness, that'll help us. And, you know, I think about it. You know, I think about when Jesus was on the cross and he was looking down at the people and he said, you know, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You know, I think he was speaking to us also, not just the ones down there who actually crucified him. Because sometimes we just don't know what we're doing. You know what I mean? We go through life and we just do things that kind of lead us down the wrong road or get in trouble. And that's why we need to walk in that kind of forgiveness. And here's what forgiveness really means. Forgiveness means to give away. You're giving something away. To forgive a payment owed on a debt. Because the person that offended you owes you a debt. They should apologize, right? They should own it. But how about they don't? How about they will? And that's like that sometimes, isn't it? But see, when we choose to forgive, we're wiping that debt away. And who knows, that might open the door for them to soften their heart to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Just because we release them of something that they owe us. So when we forgive something, we let go, and then it no longer has any more power over us. We know we have been forgiven someone. We know we have forgiven someone when we can relive the thought of the wrong committed against us without any feeling of pain associated with it. And that's our goal, to get to that position in life. And when I think about that, I think about the life of Joseph. We're not going to go into all of it, but just think about what he went through in life. I mean, granted, he was a little, maybe a little prideful or cocky as a kid. He was daddy's favorite. Has anybody ever been the favorite in any kind of thing? Maybe grandma or grandpa or mom or dad? Nobody? Okay. Well, I was at one time. And I know what that's like. It feels good. You know, sometimes there'll be a little bit of resentment towards you. But here's the thing. Joseph, he went through a lot of things. His own brothers threw him in a pit. Then they sold him into slavery. Then he got falsely accused by his master's wife. Then he got thrown into prison. Then he was forgotten by the people that he helped in the prison. And then finally, he was restored to a place of power. And I believe a lot of that happened because he walked in forgiveness every step of the way. Now he messed with his brothers a little bit, and who couldn't resist? You know what I'm saying? He did tease them a little bit, and you know, but he could have really got them because he had all the power to put each of them to death, but he didn't, to make them pay. He restored his family. And then through that, he made a provision for the children of Israel to be protected, and they was able to, you know, thrive in Egypt for a long time until the Egyptians got a little jealous of them. But I think that a lot of his blessings, if not most of them, came because he didn't hold a grudge. He just kept trying to let the hand of God be upon him. Because that's what we want. We want the hand of God to be upon our life. The hand of God is a place of blessing. It's a place where doors open that no man or devil can shut. It's a place of restoration. It's a place that we want to be when the hand of God is upon our life. So we don't want to give the enemy any opportunity to get a hold of us and to hold us back in our race. Now, my running days are long over, but I can remember. Have you ever tried to run and then somebody grabs a hold of you and you tried dragging them? It's like we have unforgiveness, dragging all this extra weight through life. So I encourage you today as we close to just, if you have something going on in your life, to release it to God. I know a lot of things happen. There's a lot of pain out there. A lot of things have happened over the years to each and every one of us. But I guarantee you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, 100%, if you choose to forgive and release that debt, things are going to open up in your life, and it's going to bring blessing because you're not going to be held back anymore. And maybe you say, I can't do it, I ain't feeling it. That's okay. For today, forgive them by faith. Choose to forgive and ask God to help the feelings to follow. Amen? And when we get to that place, we're going to walk in a place of liberty that we've maybe never experienced for a long time. Let's bow in prayer.